and for the family and all that were involved. I couldn't just pick them all out in a crowd, but it was nice to see them all there on the screen together. May the Lord bless you as you use your gifts and talents for Him. Now, a very strange and sad thing happened Christmas morning. I don't know if you watch the news or not, but it happened in Nashville, Tennessee. There was an explosion and over 40 buildings were not completely destroyed, but affected. And thank God, I don't think any lives were lost yet. But a strange thing occurred before the explosion. There was an RV, recreational vehicle, parked in front of this huge downtown building, and loudspeakers on the top or the side of that vehicle started broadcasting a message approximately 15 minutes before the explosion. And the message, it may not be an exact quote, but you'll get the point. The message was this: if you can hear this message, evacuate immediately. And then it repeated itself. If you can hear this message, evacuate immediately. Approximately 15 minutes later, the explosion happened, and devastation was everywhere. That's about all I know. I don't think there are too many details. I'm not here to give you a news meeting on who did it, why they did it, or anything like that. But what captivated my attention was that there was a warning. There was a warning. I mean, who ever gives a warning before they, you know, detonate a bomb? But there was a warning. Well, I can tell you someone who gives warnings, and these warnings are to be taken seriously. I'm sure we're going to get all kinds of stories in the days ahead about who heard the warnings, who heeded the warnings, who did not heed the warnings. I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you this. The Bible says that God gives warnings. Flags are flying. Lights are flashing. Bells are ringing. God says, warning. Warning, warning. We don't know when. We don't know what day. We don't know what hour. But just as sure as God is in heaven today with Christ at his right hand, judgment is coming to this world. It is coming bigger than you can ever imagine. The whole universe will be brought in to give an account to God. Wow. That's one day you want to be prepared for. That's one day that by the grace of God, you want to escape. The scriptures give us a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, I don't know if I'm going to get through with this or not. It doesn't matter. because God willing, we'll continue on next week. But I want to give you some thoughts about how to prepare for this new year, how to understand what God is telling us and how to take, are you listening? Take heed to what God says. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to a kind of awkward. I hate to start with this passage, but I think you'll understand it once I explain it to you. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. And verse 28, Matthew 5 and 28. Now, don't get excited. I'm not preaching on this, but you'll understand it as soon as I give you the explanation. Jesus Christ speaking, Matthew 5 and 28. He says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, it's not my intention to speak about immorality or lust or anything like that. We'll save that for another day. But the reason I started with this is because this is going to give you a perfect example in a kind of a weird way, but a perfect example of what the Greek word translated, take heed, what that Greek word means, because 135 times in the New Testament, the Greek word that is translated in our English Bible, take heed, is also translated other ways. And this is one of the most common ways that it's translated. Watch your Bible again. But I say to you that whoever looks, there's our word. Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her. Now, I'm going to speak about God's warnings about taking heed. Now, when I would define that this word take heed, I never thought about the way you look at a woman. But if you think about it, if a man, an immoral man, a man who is letting his imagination run, or a man who is searing his conscience, but a man who looks at a woman to lust after her, he evaluates that woman. That look is a look of evaluation. It is wrong, it is sinful, it is immoral, but it illustrates the point. Take heed. See, I could read it like this, but I say to you that whoever takes heed to a woman to lust after her. In other words, evaluates, sees her, gives her special attention, an intent look, an earnest contemplation, turning his eyes and his attention from everything else and focusing on her. That is the meaning of the word. Now you got it. You know what that word means now. You know that that word means to look or to evaluate in a different way than perhaps you thought, oh yeah, God's serious. What is he going to say? Well, let me tell you, he is serious and you better get serious as well. Now, we're not going to turn there, but in Matthew 24 and 4, listen to these words. Take heed that no one deceive you. Oh my. Dear friend, let me tell you, there is a world out there that is staying awake tonight planning how they can deceive you. That's all they want to do. They want to trick you. They want your time. They want your money. They want your talents. They want your life. The world wants to chew you up like a piece of tasty fruit and spit you out when they get through with you. That is what the world wants to do. Take heed, evaluate, contemplate, focus, that no one deceives you. I am extremely thankful that in 1 John we read that for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not in their head, but in their heart, they have received an anointing. That is the very Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit has come into their heart and gives them discernment. Now, you got to read your Bible. Don't get me wrong. God gave you a Bible. He expects you to read it. He expects you to study it. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of what you've read, reminds you of what you've studied, takes the Word of God in your heart, twists it around, helps you make good decisions, helps you be careful about your life. The anointing. Oh, but dear friend, the people in the world, they don't have that. People who are without Christ, they don't have that. They got the spirit of darkness. They have the spirit of fear. They have the spirit of fallen humanity. And their goal and their aspirations are to get on top of the pile. And I don't care how I get there. You got to take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do it. We're going to climb. We're going to cheat. We're going to steal. We're going to deceive. We're going to, and Matthew, Jesus comes along in Matthew and said, don't let anybody do that to you. And so what we need to do is that we need to understand that God has given us already in advance, he is giving us a knowledge of what's going to happen in the end. Now, for instance, turn with me to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let me read in verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. For all of us that love the Lord Jesus, notice what he says. Do not love the world. Do not love the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, on one occasion, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own. He said, you're not of the world, talking to his disciples. He said, they're going to hate you, but don't marvel. They hated me, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. So here's one thing that we learn right away. We are in this world. We're born into the world. We're here. Okay, great. We live, we move, we go to school, we go to work, we go to bed, we get up, we go to school, we go to work, we go to bed. We're in the world. We got a routine. Okay, in the world. But for those who've trusted Christ, they're not of it. One thing to be in it, it's another thing to be of it. What do I mean? We don't dance to the world's tune. That's what I mean. We don't march to the enemy's drumbeat. We were once in the world and we once walked according to the course of the world. But we don't do that anymore. We're believers. We're followers. We're children of God by the grace of God. And the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, stop loving the world. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, let me remind you that the word love here is the word that means you must make a choice. This is not a feeling. Not, well, I don't feel like loving the world today, or I really feel like loving the world today. No, 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 no. This is you make a decision based on the command of God. Don't do it or stop doing it. You make that choice, whether you feel like it or not. God says it is not good for you. But then he goes on to tell you, not just the world. When you see a picture of the globe, oh, well, that's the world. I don't care about that. Oh, but how about the things? The things. Look at it. For all that is in the world, the lust, verse 16, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The things of the world. I suppose, in a sense, nothing of itself is terribly wrong. It's how you use it or abuse it or where you put it in your life. I mean, even food can be a god. We don't hear too many messages on gluttony, do we? But it's wrong. Okay, even food can be a god. Okay, so we have to be careful that we honor the Lord in all things. The scriptures tell us, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. And so you need to bring Jesus Christ as a believer into every aspect of your life. We don't love the world. We don't love the things in the world. If you do love the world, that is, if you choose to be involved in that which you've already been rescued out of, if you choose to be involved in that, the love of the Father is not in you. Just one second. Hello. Sorry about that. I think there's a visitor in the building. There wasn't supposed to be anybody here. That's okay. So the love of the Father and the love of the world contradict one another. You can't have them both at the same time. What's my point? Notice it. Let's go in verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world, here's my point, is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. God said, let me just give you a little look into the future. And whether it is tomorrow or the next day, or if God spares us next year, I can tell you what's going to happen to everything you see around you. It's going to the dump. Everything. Houses, lands, cities, buildings, golf courses, libraries, hospitals, institutions. It's all gone. It's all going. Peter reminds us that one day it is going to melt with a fervent heat and everything's going to be gone. And the Lord's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And on that new heaven and that new earth, it's going to be right. It's going to be righteous, okay? But the former is going to be taken away. The earth is going to melt with the fervent heat and everything in it. That's what the Bible said. There won't be a footprint. There won't be anything left. Now, you do not want to sell your soul for something that's going to be completely destroyed. No use. In my opinion, God puts value on two things on earth, his people and his word. Now, you want to get in those categories. Those are going to span time. They are going to make it to the other side. The people of God and the word of God are moving into eternity with the Lord. Everything else is not going to make it. So, dear Christian today, dear child of God today, as you think about some warnings for the future, don't waste your life. Now look, I got to be careful here because God calls people in different ways. I'm not suggesting for a minute you got to do what I do. Not at all. But you need to heed God's call. You need to obey the voice of God. You need to serve the Lord where you are, at home, at school, at work, wherever you are, whatever age you are. Don't waste your life. God has called you. God will keep you. God will equip you. God will help you. But you must heed the call of God. And the warning is nothing else is going to matter. Now, I know it matters right now. I mean, I'm glad to have a car. I'm glad to have a house. I know. But this is not my life. I'm just passing through. This is not what I live for. The Christian lives for another world, not this world. This one's going to end in destruction. Think about it like this. I don't know how many of you have ever gone to a campground or something, gone camping. I don't know how many times or if you've ever slept in a tent. Now, when you're kids, you don't worry much about that. You can just lay down on the ground and go to sleep. Oh, my goodness. If I had to sleep on the ground tonight, I don't think I'd ever walk again, you know. But that's what happens when you get old. But think about this. Let's suppose that your house is being built, and until the house is built, you had to sleep in a tent. Well, you make the best of it, right? It's out in the yard. The house is being built, okay? And you sleep in this tent. Do you know what helps you every night when it's so uncomfortable and you don't really like it? You look at that house and you go, oh my, I can't wait till I get in that house. That is going to be so nice. And so you endure where you are right now until the house is built. Well, I got really good news for you. These bodies are just a tent. It's all they are. And one day the tent's gonna strike the tent. No, the body's gonna die, going back into the ground from which God took the dust and made man. Okay, and the Lord Jesus is already in heaven. And guess what he's doing? Making a house, a permanent house. It's gonna be a great place for us. So while we're on earth, some of you will get this. Don't drive the tent pegs too deep, please. Okay? You know what that means? That means don't put a concrete foundation around your tent. Because we're going. The world is going. The tent is going. It's all going. But there is something that is going to last forever. That's the will of God, the children of God, the word of God is going in. And we want to make sure that we invest in things that God has invested in. Everything else is going up in a puff of smoke. So let's be careful about how we live this life. So let's think about some warnings. I got to get at least one warning in before my time is up today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to talk about four warnings, okay? Four warnings. Now, remember, the warning is the word take heed. And remember, the word take heed has maybe a little bit different connotation than you thought at the beginning. Matthew chapter 4, and notice verse 24. Matthew 4. And 24. First of all, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, now watch verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. And to you who hear, more will be given. Take heed. I want you to think about these words. Take heed. Remember? It's like evaluate. It's like pay close attention. That's like think through it. That's like special. Forget everything else. Focus right here. But notice the next word. Take heed. What you hear. A lot of voices out there. What are you listening to? You say, well, I was listening to the news, but that got so bad, I decided I wouldn't turn that back on anymore. And then I tried listening, reading the newspaper. Well, that wasn't much better. And then I went on the internet. Well, that wasn't, well, Andy, folks, listen. The point is simply this. Be careful. Be careful what you hear. You know, there are different senses. We have things get into our mind different ways. Eye gate, ear gate, you know, touch, feel, emotion, things like this. Be careful. We used to sing a little song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Now, the warning here from the Lord Jesus is take heed what you hear. Now, I'm not prying, and I haven't been, you know, no spies. I didn't pay any private investigators to go look at your life this week, but could I ask you the question? You've been listening to anything this week that's not good for you? Have you turned on the internet or the TV or the radio, or have you been listening to anything that is not good for you? Now, the Lord Jesus said we need to be really, really careful what we hear. Okay, but not only that, keep that in mind. We'll have to close with this because our time is coming. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Keep that in mind. Take heed what you hear. Luke chapter 8. And let's notice verse 18. Luke 8 and 18. Going to have our word there again. Notice it, Luke 8 and 18. Therefore, take heed. Now it says, how you hear. How you hear. So take heed. The warning is take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear it. Now, let me give you an example. You can be walking down the street, going to a retail store or through a mall, and all of a sudden there's music. Okay? There's music. And you don't really pay any attention to it, but guess what you're doing? You're taking it in. You don't even know that. Taking it into your subconscious. That's the reason 2 days later you start going, I go, where'd I get that? Well, you got that from that song in the mall, but you didn't really know that. That just sort of came to you because it was coming in. Take heed what you hear. Now, I'm not suggesting you go stick your fingers in your ears when you walk downtown. That's not my point. But here is my point. It's one thing to know what you're listening to. And if you know it's wrong, you do need to put your fingers in your ears. Kids do that sometimes. You ever see a kid do that? You tell a kid something they don't want to hear. They go, they put their fingers in their ears and they make stupid sounds. And you know why? They don't want to hear your voice. I've seen it. I know it happens. So you take heed what you hear. If what you're hearing is not good for you, put your fingers in your ears and hum a hymn or something. Okay, you won't hear it anymore. I'll guarantee you. But then if you're walking along or in life in general, and you hear something, you say, oh, well, that's not that bad. You know, maybe that's good. And so you hear it, but you don't appreciate it. Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's your wife or your husband's voice. It's something. And Jesus is saying here, not only be careful what you hear, but be careful how you take it in. So we have to heed the word of God. You have to honor God in these things. He would not warn you about that unless he thought you needed it. We're thinking about warnings. We're thinking about taking heed. We're thinking about evaluating what's coming in the future. Next week, we're going to continue on with this. I didn't do very well. I just got started. But I want you to know that God will never leave you without a witness. He's going to give you a witness. He's going to give you his word. He's going to tell you where to go and how to get there. He's going to tell you what to listen to and what not to listen to. He's going to give you a lot of warning shots over the bow, okay? Things like this. Okay, don't do that. Don't love the world. Don't get involved. It's all going to the dump. Don't worry about that. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear it, okay? This is vastly important for us. And we need to understand that God has a plan. It's a great plan. It's a good plan. So next time you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, be careful how you hear it. Because the way you hear it is going to determine your eternal destiny. Let's pray. Father, we want to commit this message to you. We want to commit this assembly to you. We want to commit these dear ones to you. And as a message, a warning message was given in Nashville, Tennessee on Christmas Day, if anybody hears this message, evacuate immediately. Then we know that our great God, our compassionate, loving Heavenly Father, is warning people, take heed to the gospel. Take heed to the world around you. Be careful what you do, because there is coming a day when God is going to judge the earth and all that is in it. And so, Father, please, in your good mercy, give us ears to hear. If anybody wants to hear, we pray they will hear the love of God, the grace of God, the salvation through Jesus Christ alone. In his name, amen.